Blog Talk Radio.
He's a man who's going to tell you like it is.
You can never be afraid of something that you don't know about. Now that's ignorance, and for us, ignorance is not bliss.
He's a man who's not afraid to talk about the real issues and not skate around it.
Don't you think it's about time that you got tired of where you are? I mean, you have got to be ready for God to do something for you and let Him move.
He's a man who loves his God, his country, and his people.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not too fond of the political state of the world, and particularly the U.S. as it is right now. But if you want change, you have to make it happen. You can't keep settling for less than what you ought to have.
He's a man who's sowing seeds of life, love, and liberation to anybody who's willing to hear.
There comes a point in time where everybody just needs to shut their mouth up and listen to God. And God is the one who will lead us, and God is in all truth. He'll tell us everything we need. That covers every area, every facet, from politics to church to you name it. God's got it covered.
He's a man that seeks the heart of God for the people of God. You're listening to Zero Out of Day with Pastor Lorenzo Neal.
Good morning, and welcome to Zero Today. I am your humble host, Pastor Lorenzo Neal, hailing from Cajun Land, USA, here to present you with seeds of wisdom, insight, empowerment, and liberation. We are promoting the knowledge that is engaging and transforming, and it's our goal, our responsibility, it's our hope that every time that we are on the air, each time we get on the air, that we are empowering you, our listeners, to knowing and impacting the world around you. As always, you're welcome to join us on this illuminating journey. There are a few ways you can do that. The primary way is by calling the number 347-237-5230. That is the number to call to get your thoughts, your dialogue, your insight on the air. You can also enter the chat room. The chat room is available, so you can do that and share your dialogue there also. You can go to our Facebook page, Zero Network on Facebook, and you can go there and you can make your comments there if you like to. Also, you can follow us on Twitter. At Zero Radio is the handle for the show, and my personal handle is at Prophesy. I can't talk this morning. So you can join us there. You can send me an email at PastorLorenzoNeal@gmail.com and give us insight information and things that you like to talk about. We have an interesting thing that we want to talk about today, religious liberty or religious freedom. What does that entail? Is it under attack? How should we engage as believers in this area? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But before we do any other subjects, any other topics, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your day. Today is the day you made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. We thank you for this opportunity to do the show. Bless the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart, and let it be acceptable in your sight. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, there's so much going on. quite a bit that's been happening over the last couple of weeks, and I wasn't able to do the show last week. I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, attending the Acton Institute, and I'm going to share a little bit about that and what we discussed, because it ties into the subject matter of the day, the topic of the day. But when I was reading through some of the headlines, and of course, you know, the headline today, the main headline today is President Trump firing the FBI director. For whatever reason, legitimate reason stated was that he was rough on Hillary Clinton, and that was sufficient for firing him. How sufficient that was, I do not know, but what I do know is that it's crazy. It is crazy, but there's neither here nor there. There's going to be plenty of discussion on that, and as I stated, and many other persons have stated before, is that those presidents who have done such reactionary against Nixon and Clinton in particular, it did work out too well for them. Not saying that it won't work out for President Trump, but it is what it is. And it's just a lot of headlines. But on the church side of things, the religious side of things, on the Christian side of things, several things coming out in the headlines. Last week or week before last, rapper Kendrick Lamar, he has a album or EP or whatever they're calling it now. I can't tell you. But his latest album out, I've listened to a couple of tracks on it. It's really nice. But he came out with a fiery statement regarding pastors, particularly pastors in what he may be deemed as the prosperity gospel, word of faith, or whatever it's called, saying that we have done a great injustice to the church by watering down the gospel. And you could pull it up. There are several outlets that have carried the story. And you can find it. But it's really interesting that he points this out. He's able to see that we're watering down this our gospel, the sermons. You know, every sermon doesn't have to make you feel good. And he basically said, you know, we got to get back to this idea of conviction, you know. And I'm for that, because I know what it's like to feel convicted and not want to hear it. Mm. I know what it's like to preach a sermon when you just committed the sin that you were preaching against. Mm. We want to take away from the reality of what the gospel calls us to. And the gospel calls us to sanctification and holiness, and we've gotten away from that. I've gotten away from it. A lot of us preachers have gotten away from it, not because we're preaching prosperity, largely because we bought into this idea of humanism, and there's nothing wrong with that. The realization that we are human, we are subject to sin, that we must be aware of who we are, fully aware, fully engaged in ourselves, you know, in the understanding of ourselves, and in like manner, also realize that God loves us. God's grace is sufficient, you know, and we don't want to take that for granted. But at the same time, we don't want to, as Paul says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We don't want to do that. And there's a delicate area right now in the sense that while we are approaching the matter of the gospel and the reality of the gospel and the reality of our sinful nature, those of you who ascribe to original the idea of our original sin, that we were born in sin, shaping in iniquity, realize that there's nothing we can do to change the sin nature. Only God can change the sin nature when we believe on the work of his son on the cross. Well, we believe that God sent his son, that God died for our sins, that he became the propitiation of our sins, that through faith in the work of Christ on the cross, we are redeemed from sin. We are purchased by the blood of Christ. We are now joint heirs with Christ because of his resurrection, and that he became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. So it is in that strain of thought, I cannot talk, that strain of thought that we need to get back to. It's not going to hurt people to tell people about sin. I know we don't want to talk about it. I know we don't want to preach about it. I know We want to make, you know, we want to have a praise party every Sunday. But the best thing for people to praise about is to acknowledge and bewail their manifold sins and wickedness, which we commit by thought, word, and deed against God's divine majesty. So, yeah, we have a watered-down gospel. I'm guilty of it. A lot of us guilty of it. What do we do? Well, first, of course, we repent. And we find a way to, I don't want to use the word delicate, but we find a way to integrate this teaching of conviction, because that's the role of the Holy Spirit. If we have the Holy Spirit, one of his roles is to convict us of sin. Convicting us of sin comes through the reading of the Gospels, the reading of the Word, reading of the Bible, and through the preaching of the Gospel. If Peter had not preached, and there were people who heard the day of the Holy Spirit coming down, if he had not preached, if their hearts had not been convicted, they would not have renounced those things. They would not have joined, and you know, you wouldn't have had the story of 3,000 souls being saved in that one day. So yeah, we have watered it down, and it's kind of interesting that it is taking a secular artist whose music is very, very much influenced. Oh, it's interesting. Kendrick Lamar's album and Lecrae's album both came out around the same time, and their message is pretty much simple. Not Lecrae, Chance the Rapper. They're both secular, and they're both of their music, their lyrics reflect a deeper sense of spirituality beyond the one. Now, Kendrick Lamar's, you know, he'll touch on it. He's hardcore. He's gonna hit it and drive it home, and you know, he's gonna make you think. You know, he's coming from the perspective of a, you know, somewhat of a skeptic, but a hopeful, faithful, you know, skeptic. And then you have Chance the Rapper, and you hear him, and you listen to his music, and it's more, I mean, it's like, you know, you're in church, and you know, it's a wonderful dichotomy, you know, differentiation between the two artists, yet they're pushing and promoting the same thing. I think that, as a matter of fact, I read an article. I can't remember where I read it, but it actually addresses this wonderful dissonance there. And you should, if you listen to either one of them, just take the time and fill them. You'll get what I'm saying. But it's Lecrae, you know, Lecrae is on a whole different level, because he has billed himself as a quote unquote Christian rapper. He's not secular, although he's had wonderful secular crossover success. But he is, you know, recognized as Christian. But these two cats, Kendrick Lamar and Chance the Rapper, although they are not explicitly Christian or gospel, their lyrics reflect such. So I just thought it was wonderful hearing him say that, because, you know, again, it does kind of prick me in regards to both not only my preaching, but my character representation inside and outside of the pulpit. And I'm still working on that, you know, because I just read there's the other story that I came across. And a lot of these stories you can find even either in the Christian Post or the Old Black Church with Ann Brock, or Black Christian News Network. This is where I get a lot of synthesis of the information and news stories that I get. So you can find these articles there. And there may be other wonderful outlets that I'm not aware of, but these are primary sources that I know they are very reliable and validated sources. So anyway, there's the pastor in Macon, Georgia. And I hope I never, ever have to fall into a situation like this. The church was trying to have him removed, and he's retaining. He's retaining his position. And so, as in most churches, Baptist churches, and I'm not knocking anyone who's Baptist. I started the ministry and pastored the Baptist church, so been there, done that. But a fight broke out at this church in Macon, Georgia, and you can find, again, this story, I think is quite sure it might be on the Old Black Church web blog site. I'm sure it is. I can't think of the name of the pastor. But anyway, they're in this struggle where he is, the people are trying to get him removed, and he's trying to retain his role and his power. And in the church meeting, fight broke out. And, well, anytime a fight breaks out anywhere in church, it makes the headline, and of course it made the headlines. Now, I have been in a few church separations, church splits. I've been in enough of them. And I've been in one where there was fighting, and, you know, it's never good. It's never good. Never good. And this afflicts not just the Baptist church, but, you know, it's happening in our Zion and others. You know, it's sad that it happens like that, but it does. But, you know, when we're talking about, when I talk about pastors and pastors' integrity, you know, I understand that most times we want to keep things rolling, especially if we have things going well, if the church is being well attended, if the finances are in the black and not in the red, if things are being, you know, if there's progress in the church, we want to keep it going. We don't like scandal. And even if we do have scandal, we have the tendency to try to cover it up. That's the first. And that's, I think every person does that. Even me, you know, I never forget when I was a young pastor, I had an incident that I really wish would have gone away. And it did go away after the members addressed it directly, you know, and addressed me directly. And I'm still grateful for that, because they had more care and concern about me and holistically as a young pastor, you know, just in my early 20s. And enough to address it with me instead of allowing me to go further. And it would have been a full-blown disaster. So I'm grateful. I'm very grateful for members like that who felt in our robbery to come to me and let me know my own fault. And, you know, to have great people to be accountable to in ministry is also a wonderful thing. But, you know, when fights like this break out, it gives more people, unfortunately, gives people reason to say, that's why I don't go to the church. All the church is full of heathens and whatnot. And there is some truth to that. There really is some truth to that. And you don't want to deny that. That's the great thing about the Bible, I mean about the church, the body of believers, is because all of us are redeemed sinners. From the pulpit to the usher, we are all redeemed sinners who occasionally still fall into sin, or I won't fall because God is able to keep us from falling, but we, you know, we commit sin. We may think it and never act on it, but that's that sin. We may do it and never get caught, but it's still sin. So we cannot negate the fact that God loves us enough to allow us another day to get it right. And we must take full advantage of God's grace and live accordingly. But anyway, that's pretty much my rant for that. Pray for that church in Macon and churches like it where they are experiencing similar things. It's happened across the country, around the world, pastors, whatever the case may be. You know, most times it's sexual immorality. And for members, you know, I've said this before, you want to kind of demand accountability, and pastors, you want to kind of be transparent as you can. And And that creates the balance of the church. You know, when you're transparent enough as a pastor and you can acknowledge your humanity, it helps quite a bit. You know, you don't be getting up like Jerry Falwell. Not Jerry Falwell. What's the other one? Jimmy Swagger. I have seen. And crying and putting on a good show. No, that's after the fact. You want to be transparent, and you want to be able to have people know that while we are cloaked in humanity, we're also cloaked in the Spirit of God. And we are admonished to continually yield to the Spirit. And in that way, we will likely not fulfill those desires of the flesh, whatever those desires may be. Not always sexual. You know, that's the number one thing. But it's not always sexual. Not always financial. You know, most preachers get in trouble. Two things, money and women. Or now with ladies, money and men. Anyway, I ain't even going to go that. but be in prayer for those, for that church in Macon and other churches like it that are experiencing what they're experiencing in leadership. So, again, like I said, chat room is open if you want to talk about that. Phone line is open if you want to talk about that. 347-237-5230 is the number to call. So I'm going to go ahead. I just opened the page of the Old Black Church, and there's a great story here about churches in the Memphis area are planning a Mama's Day free them all bailout. And let me pull this up real quick. I'm going to bring this. I think this is a great idea. But the premise is that they want to bail all of the black mamas who are in jail. They want to bail them out. They want to do it this week because this is the week leading up to Mother's Day. Not just Memphis. Oh, it's several cities. Many cities are joining organizations around the country as part of the National Mama's Bailout Day. This is a way to give incarcerated mothers an opportunity to spend Mother's Day with their families and build community through gatherings that highlight the impact of inhumane and destructive bail practices. It was also help support the base building of local organizations working with communities on the front lines of mass incarceration. I think that's wonderful. You know, and I've said this because I serve on part of an organization called Clergy for Prison Reform, and one of the things that we addressed here in the state of Mississippi is mass incarceration, unjust sentencing, all kinds of unfair sentencing, all kinds of things. And you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing when churches get involved with this and cities back it up. You know, you think about organizations like the LU and the Southern Poverty Law Center, I think that's what it is, which are left center leaning organizations. And they get, you know, they take the leadership most times in events like this. But it'd be great to see, particularly for black churches, see black church take leadership and the unction to do this. And I'm quite sure we may have some here in the city of Jackson. I'm not sure. I'm not going to say that. But it's a wonderful thing to know that things like this are happening. When it comes to incarceration, of course, the black community and the minority community are the greatest affected. We have the black population is only about 13 to 14 or 15% of the entirety of the American population, and yet we make up close to 85% of the prison population. And in the South, it's even worse. It's even higher. So those are things that we must be very, very aggressive in addressing. And I think once they see us in that area, we won't have a problem recruiting members. But that's not needed here nor there. If you are aware of an organization, or if you'd like to get involved with that, there's a website. Again, I'm getting this from the Old Black Church website, and I thank Ann Brock for putting this up. But you can visit nomoremoneybail.org, nomoremoneybail.org, and you can get in for more information, and you can help out. Take a quick break, and when I come back from the break, we'll get into the topic of the day: religious liberty, religious freedom. What does it look like? What is it? What should be the church's role in this? How should we address that? And I'm really there's a lot in that that I'm gonna try to break apart if I can. So that's what it is, and I'll talk to you. I'll come back right after the break. Be right back.
Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything, even mermuts. And we covered it, February 3rd, 2016. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
At Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything, even mermuts. And we covered it, February 3rd, 2016. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
We're glad that you joined us in this morning. I'm hoping that you have a wonderful Wednesday. It is hump day and close to Mother's Day, and I hope that you are preparing for the wonderful weekend. I'm excited because tomorrow actually will be my grandfather's 80th birthday. I'm excited. We're having a big dig for him, as well as celebrating my grandmother on this weekend. So I'm going to go home, and this will be a lead up to my birthday, of course, which is later this month. But also, for those of my listeners, I want to invite you to my 25th anniversary in ministry program celebration we're having here in Jackson at New Bethel AME Church. I've been laboring the gospel for now the last 25 years. If you didn't know, I accepted my call to preach at 12. And I wasn't immediately licensed. My pastor was smart. He let me learn the church. I shadowed him. I apprenticed under him. And at the age of 16, he thought it not robbery to allow me to be licensed to preach the gospel message. junior in high school. And the Lord has blessed the last 25 years. I've been able to serve. You know. The Lord has prospered, and I'm excited about it. And if you're in the Jackson area, or if you just would like to participate, you can. If you'd like to donate or participate and send a greeting of any kind, you can send it to PastorLorenzoNeal@gmail.com. And we're hoping that we can have everything together and ready for this great occasion. But anyway, let's get into the topic of the day. The topic of the day, religious liberty, the plight of religious liberty. Now, if you have not been overwhelmed by President Trump the last several months, the last 5 months now, if you haven't been overwhelmed, which I doubt many of us have, on Thursday, which was the National Day of Prayer, while Vice President Pence was meeting and gathering with some Christian leaders for prayer, President Trump, I'm not sure if he was there or not, but on that day, he signed an executive order on religious liberty. And I have a copy of the executive order that he signed. Now, what's interesting, if you paid attention, several states over the last years have filed bills regarding religious liberty, religious freedom. Matter of fact, then Governor Pence, now Vice President Pence, signed one of the strictest ones in the state of Indiana where he was serving, and it came across kind of harsh, and I understand the intent, and likewise here in Mississippi, we filed two separate bills. We have two bills now. They do a wonderful job. But again, when you add the second layer of speech, and that's the fiscal, that's the money, it's very, very, very scary because, again, you deep pockets on the right side than we do on the left side. And again, specifically regarding the black church, the issue then becomes, do we have the resources? Will we pull our resources together so that we can have the voice? We're not monolithic except as a voting block. But when it comes to issues...